Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about
work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow.
Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome once again to Top Stories. I am, not for the first time or the last, Andy Zaltzman, bringing you another top story from the Bugle archives. In October 2017, Theresa May gave one of the most excruciatingly, toe-curlingly awful speeches ever to emerge from the human face. Nish Kumar and Alice Fraser joined me in issue 4045, entitled Calendar Means Calendar, to ponder exactly how bad the Conservative conference had been.
Top story this week, and Theresa May has given one of the greatest speeches in the history of the art of rhetoric. Nish, as our official Theresa May speech correspondent, what did you just bring the Buglers up to date in case they missed the
look
glory it was.
Alice, Andy, we've all had bad gigs. We're all stand-up comedians. We've all had bad gigs. I'm thinking specifically in the case of me and Andy, Aldershot 2012, and a gig I did about 6 months ago where a man used the phrase, "You, sir, are a..." But, which really invalidated his use of the word sir.
Yes. Yeah.
But this was something else. Theresa May was giving a speech at the Tory Party Conference, which is a sort of annual gathering that every political party has. Party Conference itself, something of a contradiction in terms, a little bit like fun audit, soothing nutshot, or President Trump. But it's where an annual gathering of the political party, and this is a big opportunity for Theresa May. She's had a rough old time of it, largely through circumstances of her own making. But this was an opportunity for her to set the record straight, re-establish herself as a dominant leader of the party and prime minister of this country. And I believe the technical term for what happened next was she f***ed it right up the shitter. Oh, my word. The speech was an abject disaster. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this. I guess we have to start with the fact that she had a coughing fit, which resulted in her having to stop the speech in the middle, and the Chancellor Philip Hammond having to climb over a couple of seats to deliver a cough suite to her. It resulted in several pauses in the speech, which the Tory party faithful desperately tried to fill by giving her an impromptu standing ovation. I mean, that is the living definition of an easy gig, getting a standing ovation.
Giving her a standing
standing ovation, or were they giving her coughing fit a standing ovation?
It's actually difficult to say, given the behaviour of some of them in the week leading up to the speech. And also, the speech was then interrupted by comedian and prankster Simon Brodkin, who had managed to get fully accredited as a party member and managed to get down the front during the Prime Minister's speech and hand her a fake P45 form, essentially informing her that she was going to be fired. And as he was led away by the police, who presumably were out having a sandwich for the previous 15 minutes, as he was being led away, he was shouting, "Boris told me to do it," because of the various leadership sort of challenges that Boris Johnson appears to have been issued in coded messages in national newspapers. All in all, a total cluster.
Yeah, I mean, that's in terms of speeches going shitly bingo. She was she was really maxing out straight up.
I mean, the question we all are asking is, did she shit herself?
Right.
Because that's the only way. That's the only way it could have been any worse, is if she just fully shit herself.
Right. I mean, I did expect once, when you mentioned the police, I think they were probably distracted by being about to storm the stage and arrest Theresa May to stop her attacking herself anymore. She was posing a clear threat to the Prime Minister.
That is her biggest problem. It's not challenges from within her own party. It's not the actions of stand-up comedians. Nobody undermines Theresa May more than Theresa May.
I just think it's a natural consequence of what happens when you do a seance and invite the angry spirits of conservatives past to inhabit you. She's literally embodying the state of British politics with the ghosts of dead, gouty old politicians clearing their throats disapprovingly through her hollow flesh prison.
That is the best explanation I've yet heard for that.
With, that is, no one has got closer than you, Alice, to explaining what went on. And then the sort of, I mean, the shit cherry on the fecal cake was during the speech. There was a backdrop that said, I think it said, building a better country for everyone. And during her speech, the F in for everyone fell off.
The only way that could have gone better is if the O had fallen out of country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, arguably, that would have at least been funny. This just looked vaguely threatening. Also, I cannot emphasise this enough, F off. The F fell off. If you put that in a play script or a film script, you would be accused of a heavy-handedness beyond belief.
Well, this makes me think, there was no way these letters falling off was genuinely accidental. There is no... for a start, let's listen to some of the explanations given.
Yeah.
I heard one Conservative saying that the reason they fell off was because there had been too many standing ovations. But they might as well have said the letters simply swooned at the raw political eroticism of another quarter of falling unemployment figures. It's
that is the, oh no, you're too good at sex, we have to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Politics.
There's no way. Have you ever seen a letter fall off a backdrop before during a speech? No, never. No. That was about as accidental as Laurel and Hardy dropping that piano down those steps. That was more orchestrated than a room full of 18 violinists, some cellists, some clarinetists, some trumpeters, some flautists, a couple, I think you know where this joke is going. But anyway, the point, there's no way this could have been accidental. Someone is clearly out to him, and probably hadn't thought, oh, she's probably going to have a massive coughing fit and be stage invaded by a comedian as well. So probably in itself, that would have been just a nice little, oh, look at that, it's a bit crap.
I think you've missed the key point here, Andy, right. Which is that clearly they should have got a Polish workman to put that sign up.
The great irony.
The great irony. They tried to buy British and ended up with slapdash work.
But, I mean, you think of all the times letters could have fallen off backdrops and haven't. You know, Joseph Stalin, he had huge crowds at a lot of his gigs. Did he ever end up standing in front of letters on a wall saying the Union of Soviet A-list pubics? No. Yes, and he had, you know, 500... Because Kim Jong-un finished one of his gigs standing in front of All Hail, Dear Leader, Commander-in-Chef, who descended from the lever of the county. And he's had 500,000 people marching at the same time whilst nuclear test blasting underneath the stage, probably.
Well, actually, just to correct your facts a little bit there, Andy, his name was originally Kim Jong-un.
he just wrote it out.
Just doubled down.
He styled it out.
It was a complete disaster from start to finish. And there are now serious questions being asked of the conference security because Simon Brodkin, who is a comedian who I imagine is known to you as well. Yeah,
I think he might even be one of the many comedians who have at one point been my support act and gone on to bigger and better things.
He certainly really fluffed his slot supporting Theresa May.
Yeah. He did gigs with him when he was quite new on the circuit. But he's got quite a history of...
He does, yeah, because he was actually caught at FIFA throwing money at Sepp Blatter. I think he tried to pull a prank on Donald Trump.
Yeah, he gave him swastika emblazoned golf ball.
That's
right. He was a Scottish golfer.
So apparently, according to reports emerging the last couple of days, he used his real name on his accreditation.
Yes.
So nobody bothered Googling him. And somehow he managed to get so close to the Prime Minister that he could hand her a piece of paper without anyone sort of rugby tackling him. I mean, I know that there are several British stand-up comedians who would like to see Simon Brodkin get rugby tackled, but that's mainly due to the fact that he is notorious for overrunning his slot at mixed bill gigs. But it is a genuine concern that he was A, able to get in the first place, and B, able to get within touching distance of the Prime Minister. And what's worse is that she took the form from him. She actually accepted the heckle.
Right. I mean, his impact was slightly reduced as a piece of performance satire by a number of factors. Firstly, the fact that Mrs. May was already being satirised by her own throat, physically mimicking the spluttering incoherence and unconvincingment of her government's Brexit strategy, and the fact that Boris Johnson's signature on the P45 was clearly faked.
Yeah.
They could have just got an image off it. You can get his autograph on the internet. Along with his mother's maiden name and his childhood pet, that was a newt called Storm. And you can have a reasonable stab at his password too. I reckon it's probably King Boris the First. Eyes as well.
I strongly suspect Boris's password is considerably more racist than that.
And the P45 form—that's the form you get given when you're sacked, basically, by your employer. Ironically, P45. Was also the 16th option in a multiple-choice quiz at the Tory conference and answered the question, how many more days will Theresa May be Prime Minister for? P45. But people said, this speech was described as a car crash. I think that gives the wrong impression of speed and modernity. It was more like someone driving a horse-drawn Victorian hearse, carrying a coffin full of heavy rocks, very slowly and deliberately into a swamp. Well, isn't it good to know that politics ever moves forwards and upwards? To hear more of our shows, to buy the Dancy Lagarde book, or to join the Bugle voluntary subscription scheme to keep the show free, flourishing and independent, go to thebuglepodcast.com, where you can also buy tickets to our live tour.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.